Hello, everybody. This your girl, Shawana. I know it's been a while. I've been a little busy doing a little advocating and doing a little working and just starting on a new venture in my life. But I haven't forgotten about my podcast. I'm still excited by doing this, my exit movement, letting go and let God take control. I'm excited because I'm going down a road, Lord, that the Lord has shown me a path that he's guided me down. And it's just a whole new venture that I'm doing right now. I live in Bossier City, and we're restarting the NAACP in Bossier Parish. We're revamping it, and we're going to have a Shreveport chapter and a Bossier chapter. So I'm excited to be a part of that and getting that started back, along with other ventures that I'm doing. Starting my own little business. Well, actually, two business ventures I started. So I've been a little busy. But like I said, I'm still not too busy to do my podcasting thing. I feel like whatever I say is helping people. And as long as God tells me to do it, I'm going to keep doing it. And, you know, we got so much going on right now in the world. We're still under a pandemic. People, jobs, you know, people are still unemployed. And people are constantly still getting sick with this virus. And I just feel like if we all would just come together and just listen to what the CDC is saying and doctors saying about this virus, that this thing can go away. But we're selfish. We're so selfish. Because we only seeing one-sided things. A lot of people don't think that this is real, but it is. I mean, because you have to ask those people that have lost loved ones from this virus how real it is. You should ask these doctors and nurses that are treating these people that have the virus and seeing what they're going through. And people don't understand, after, if you make it through and get out the hospital, you still have side effects for the rest of your life from this virus, because there's not a cure yet. You still have people that's on oxygen and ventilators. People that still can't smell or taste after they've gotten home and still have shortness of breath. Those are the things that you don't hear about. So I think we need to really, really take a look at this and just really, really stop doing what we're doing and start listening so we can come together and get rid of this thing. So that comes to my subject is, what can I do? And that's a broad subject of what can I do? What can I do to be better and make things better right now? Because it's a lot that we can be doing, and it's a lot that we're not doing. I mean, we're not listening, for one, to the scientists and stuff about the social distancing and wearing the mask and not gathering up in groups. We're not listening. You know, we feel like that our rights are being taken away, but you have to think about the businesses as well that are open. And if they want you to wear a mask in their business, then you wear a mask, because that's their right as well, just like it's yours not to wear a mask. But it's their right for you to come in their business with a mask, because that's their livelihood. I mean, they're looking out for their families and their employees' families and themselves. So we have to think about that. We have to think of each other and not just me, myself, and I. What can we do? What can I do right now to be better and do better and make a difference? And through this pandemic, how can we help one another? We got so much going on. People are unemployed. People are elderly people that can't get out, that need help. Why don't some of us get out there and volunteer, you know, to help those people? Go to the grocery store for them, pick up their meds, or take them to the doctor or whatnot. It's so much we could be doing instead of complaining and being selfish about this. You know, we have to come together. That's the only way things are going to get better. And it's kind of sad to look at other countries like the Netherlands. They don't have the virus at all. It's gone. And some of the other countries, the virus is gone. And they've shut down, not letting Americans come to their country, because they say, hey, we don't want this stuff back again. And it's kind of sad to look at the other countries' comments about how America is. They're saying that we're sad. We don't want to listen. And the numbers just keep going, growing and growing. People constantly dying, getting sick because we just don't want to listen. We don't want to do anything to help one another to stop this, because we feel like it's invading our rights or nothing. And that's not the case. We're trying to stop something, but it's continuing to go because we don't want to listen. And now they want to send the children back to school, which I'm just so terrified, being that I'm an ex-school employee and know definitely that it's not safe for those kids to be there, because the school systems have nothing in place to protect these children as far as sanitizing and social distancing. It's not going to work. If you've been in a classroom, you know that the classrooms are not big, are not much bigger than your closet space. Some of them are not. And you have 25 or 30 kids in the classroom that's already overcrowded. How are you going to keep those kids 6 feet apart? You can't. And so, I mean, it's just, you really need to think about that. And I said before, I made a comment that parents are in control of this. If you decide not to send your children to school because they gave you that option to do virtual learning, and all the parents in the parish decide to say, hey, I'm going to keep my kids at home, school won't open up. Because whether you know it or not, all of the parishes and states have gotten that money, the CARES Act money for school. They got that money. So they have all that money to put in place the virtual learning and to make sure all the children have the technology and computers that they need to do virtual learning. The schools have gotten that, and that's what they're supposed to be using that money for. So parents, y'all might need to step up and go to those school board meetings and ask them exactly what are they doing with all that money, because they got $1.6 million. And I know for sure Louisiana got it. Boulder City got that. So if anybody from Boulder City listen to this podcast, y'all better kind of go to that school board meeting and ask them why they got this stuff together. They got the money to get all this for your kids to stay at home and do virtual learning. So the question is, what are they doing with the money? And why are they trying to rush these kids to go to school? The president might have said he gonna stop funding, but he can't do that because the schools already had gotten the funding already. See, that's a fact check that should be checked. But again, as I said before, what do we need to do? We still got racial tensions going on. We got the Black Lives Matter going on. And on that line, what do we need to do to be better? To understand what exactly does Black Lives Matter? Because a lot of people don't get it. A lot of Caucasian people don't understand why we're upset and why are we saying Black Lives Matter. If you kill a black person, if the last 408 years we have been killed, we have been institutionalized and put in jail, racist against us, prejudice and all this stuff from the time that we even made it into this country. I don't understand. If you can't understand that, then there's something wrong. I shouldn't have to go to the store and be followed around in the store, and I got money like anybody else. I work and I pay my taxes. So why am I getting followed as if I'm a thief or am I going to steal when I have money to pay? I remember growing up, me and my cousin, and we used to go to the mall on Saturdays. We worked for the JTPA program when they had it back in the schools. We used to get paid every 2 weeks. So when we got paid, we would go to the mall on Saturdays and buy some clothes and shoes and stuff. So we would go to Dillard's. And I never forget, every time we went in there, the security guard would follow us around the store like we were going to steal. But we just got paid, had a pocket full of money, ready to buy clothes and stuff. And they followed us around Dillard's, like River Glen Steel. So we used to go up the escalator and go around different places just to see what they followed us, and then we see that they were, and we used to duck and dodge, you know. But the funny thing about it, the whole time that they were following us around, it was the little Caucasian kids that were stealing out the store. They were too busy thinking, because we were black, that we were going to steal, that they didn't pay attention to the little white kids that were stealing all the time. And it was funny, you know, but at the same time, it was sad that because we were black, you figured that we were stealing, like we didn't have money to buy things, and we all had jobs. So that is the type of thing that we're talking about when we say Black Lives Matter. Stop that type of behavior towards us, that you automatically see a black person that you assume the worst of us, that we're stealing, we're killing, we don't want nothing out of life, we're uneducated. That's the biggest misconception of us. I am a single mother. I care about my children. I want them to get educated, the best education. I want them to have the best out of life. I mean, their father was murdered due to violence. So, yes, I worry about them every day. I worry about them walking out the door and not coming back, that somebody's going to take their life, you know, just because their skin color was black, or just because they felt like they could. That's not a good feeling that any mother or any parent should have, especially a black parent. But that's how we feel. And the thing we feel about, we can't understand why. Why is it such a threat? Why is our color such a problem? We didn't ask to come to this country. And the funny thing about it, everybody in this country are immigrants. Everybody came from somewhere else besides the Indians. They the only one that belong here. But, you know, people have taken over this country like they think they are supposed to be superior over everybody. That's not the case. God made everybody different. He made different shades. He made different colors, different races. And he did it for a reason. Nobody that's been born was asked to be the color that they were, because you didn't know when you was born. You didn't know what color you came out when you was born. You were told what color you were by your parents when you got older. But you don't know what you are. You don't even know you're a man or woman when you born. So, like, that's my point. You're taught. So hatred is taught. Racism is taught, because you're not born with it. And that's something that we need to stop doing. We got to stop killing one another in our races. It's not just the black race that do it. White people, Asian, we all got it going on. We got to come together. So again, that's what my topic is. What can we do to do better and be better? What do we need to do? We got to do something, because we're going downhill. We're going up the creek without a paddle right now, with all the stuff that's going on right now in this country. We are. And so many things are being revealed. Hatred, all the stuff that has been in the little box that's been kept a secret, is now being unlocked and exposed. People are being exposed. People's lives, people's true feelings and true colors are being exposed right now through this pandemic. So we got to come together. An important thing we need to do is get on our knees and pray, because we need a healing of the land. God said that you call out his name, he'll heal the land. And that's something that we're not doing. We're too busy fighting one another instead of seeing what the real purpose is and what the real reason what we need to do. So I just pray that we can come together, and that we can come together and God heal this land and find a cure, or just take this whole thing away. Because like I say, a change is coming. A change is coming. And when a change comes, we should be better and we should be different after this, and not the same people that we were before. So that's all I want to talk about for this little snippet. I just felt like I had to say a little some since I've been away for a minute, hadn't had a little time to talk. But like I said, I'm still excited about doing this thing, and I'm going to continue to say whatever I can to help someone, encourage somebody. Because this is all about just talking and revealing your truth, and just hoping that whatever I've gone through or whatever I've seen or heard or done, that any experience that I've had, that I could help somebody that may be going through the same thing or have gone and didn't know. Because this is nothing but God's grace and mercy has brought me here from where I was before. And I just thank him every day for it, and all the opportunities and the doors that he's opening and the path that he's leading me down right now. Because, you know, when God is leading you down the path and opening doors, he's opening different levels of your life. And he's getting you prepared to do and to be better. And we have to accept that challenge. And it's not going to be easy. But it's not going to be hard either, because he's going to be right there with you. So I'm just happy right now. I'm in a good place. I'm in peace. And my children are my family. And so, like I said, what can I do to be better and do better? Well, just continue to trust God and continue to be an example and just try to do his will and make a difference in this world. And that's the question I think we all should ask ourselves right now. What can we do to be better? What can we do to have better understanding and make a difference right now? Because we need that. So, I hope y'all have a good night. And I'll talk to y'all again. Talk to y'all later. Bye.